Even if you're here today, you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Do you realize you've also been blessed? Now, you don't realize it today, but you have. You've been blessed. God has allowed you another opportunity to come and be in the house of God today. Consider where you might stand with Him today. Oh, my friend, how you need to know Him this morning in a free pardon of sin. Boy, aren't you glad for the blessings that God has bestowed upon you and I, even this day, just to be able to get up and to come and be a part of this service this morning. I appreciate you today being in the house of God. Has anybody got a word or testimony, anything on your heart this morning? Amen, Paul. All right, take your Bible, if you would, please. I'm going to try to be just as quick as I can this morning. I know that we all have a busy day today, but just a simple thought this morning out of the Word of God, out of the book of Acts in chapter number 26. Acts chapter number 26, for anyone that's been in church any length of time at all, I know that you're probably familiar with the story, of course, of Paul and King Agrippa. And the Lord just began to deal with my heart about some particular thoughts here pertaining, of course, to this account. And again, I want to be as brief as I can this morning and just give you a few thoughts. I want you to think about it as you're finding your place in the Word of God this morning, the book of Acts chapter 26. We're going to start reading down in verse probably about number 22 and just read down maybe through verse 29 this morning. With this thought in life, or this thought in mind, don't miss life's greatest opportunity. Don't miss life's greatest opportunity. Paul, as he stands before Agrippa, and Agrippa hears the truth of the Word of God, Agrippa has the opportunity to get right with God. Before him is the greatest opportunity of his life. And could I say today to you and I, the greatest opportunity that ever come before us was when we heard the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and received Him as our personal Lord and Savior. You may be given a lot of opportunities in life, but friend, there's none no greater than the opportunity to come and to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. There is none no greater. So I want you to consider this morning from this text that thought in mind, don't miss life's greatest opportunity. And then maybe for a subtitle or a thought, because this I want you to really get. Because almost does not count. Almost does not count. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter number 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I want you to think about that in the context of the message on this thought. Don't miss life's greatest opportunity. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. If you're able to stand, and if you're not, that's certainly okay. The Bible says now, I want to encourage you, if you've not read this in a while, maybe to go back and study it, because I don't have time to deal with all that's in this great chapter. But again, Paul has been falsely accused. Paul has been arrested, and we find that he's coming before the leaders, and we find that he has the opportunity to come before King Agrippa. And we find, of course, as he does that, a lot of different things. But I want to pick up our reading in verse number 22 this morning. The Bible says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things of which the prophets and Moses did say should come. Verse 23, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show forth light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spoke for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art mad, beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things before, whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. Verses 27 and 28, the Bible says, King Agrippa, Paul again addressing Agrippa, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then verse 28. And then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Father, to thank you for another day on this side of eternity. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for the privilege to be back in your house this day. Lord, thank you for the Sunday school hour. Thank you for the good singing, the testimonies. Lord, all this has been done in your name. Thank you for your precious word this morning. And I do pray now, Father, as your servant, as I stand in this place, Lord, I'm unworthy. Lord, I realize that this morning. But, Father, I pray, God, now that you would touch me and anoint me. And, Lord, help me to stand and proclaim the truths of the word of God. Lord, Father, you know who's here. Lord, you know what needs to be said, what needs to be done. And so I pray this morning that he, the Holy Ghost of God, will speak, Father, unto every heart. Lord, we're dealing with a very serious subject this morning. Lord, I pray again as your servant, you anoint me afresh and anew. Lord, give me liberty this morning. I realize that Satan will do anything he can this morning to distract and discourage and try to get us to the place, Lord, this morning that we not pay attention, Father, to the word of God. But I do pray now, Father, for a few moments today, Lord, we give our attention now, Lord, to your word and to the working of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, if there's someone here today that's never trusted you as their Savior, Father, I pray again that you would convict and draw in this very day. Lord, they come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Then, Lord, help us to have the boldness of Paul to continue to tell the story of how you came and died and rose again, that men, women, boys, and girls can be saved by the good grace of God. Touch us now, I pray. Lord, help us in this service. And, Father, we're going to thank you and we're going to praise you for what you're going to do. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious word of God. Again, for a few moments, let us consider the thought before us today. Don't miss life's greatest opportunity, because almost does not count. Again, we have before us today the account of Paul before King Agrippa. Agrippa was the eighth and last ruler of Judea from the Herodian dynasty. He was a Jew in religion, but entirely devoted to the Roman Empire. Paul comes before him with a message not of religion, but of salvation and a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also see his rejection, I believe, here in this text this morning, the rejection of the gospel message, the rejection of the good news. And this morning, the reason I say that again is because he makes this statement, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost does not count. Let me say this in the way of introduction this morning. Almost does not count in life, and almost certainly will not count in death. Almost does not count this morning. And I want you to consider that thought as we look at just a few things briefly from the Word of God today. Again, don't miss life's greatest opportunity, because almost does not count. The word almost this morning from the 1828 Webster Dictionary simply means nearly or well nigh. There's a lot of folks that gets close, but they don't get in. I believe we have before us in this text a man by the name of King Agrippa, as he says this phrase, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, as you look at that and you study it, and you study after different writers and commentators, some says that he was being sarcastic and all these things, and that may be a possibility. You and I were not there. But I will say this morning, as we look at it in the context of what Paul is saying and what Paul is presenting unto King Agrippa, I believe we find here a total right-out rejection. Because if you'll continue to read the story and the account as we get down to the latter part of the chapter, he just blatantly, if you will, rejects the greatest opportunity that King Agrippa had ever known. King Agrippa, a man with power. King Agrippa, a man with position. But yet this morning, he had the greatest opportunity before him, but yet he rejected that opportunity. I would say again to you this morning, friend, if God knocks on your heart's door, could I say that the Bible teaches us that today is the day of salvation. Friend, I wouldn't put it off another moment. Why? Because almost does not count in life, and almost certainly will not count in death. Friend, I'm glad my Bible teaches me this morning that I can know that I passed from death unto life. I'm glad that I can know, hallelujah, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ today. And friend, that's the most pressing question on your heart today, is do you know Him as your personal Lord and Savior? And so again, don't miss life's greatest opportunity. I want to look at about three things quickly today with the help of the Holy Spirit of God as we consider Paul now before King Agrippa as he tries to reach him. I thought about it as I studied and pondered and meditated upon this text. Paul was not necessarily pleading for his own cause. I realize he's been arrested. I realize he's before King Agrippa. But Paul was not necessarily pleading his case as far as why he's in prison. He is pleading not his case, but he is there to proclaim and present the gospel before King Agrippa. Whether you have a high position or whether this morning you feel like that you have no position at all, I'm glad that the ground at the cross is level. I'm glad this morning that Jesus said when he come that he died for whosoever will. I'm glad this morning, thank God, whether you got that position or whether you have what you feel like is no position. Friend, the greatest pressing question this morning, thank God, are you ready to meet God? Hallelujah this morning. My friend, because all of us are going to face this thing called death. Just two Sundays ago, Miss Phyllis was sitting just right here where her sister sits today, and it was the last time that she ever got to be in a service such as this. Friend, you don't know when your last time's going to be. You don't know when your last opportunity's coming. Now, I don't know if King Agrippa had any more opportunity. I'm not going to talk about that much this morning. All I know is before him at this particular time, Paul has been placed, hallelujah, before him to present him with the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I'm here to do this morning, is to present that message to you and pray that your ears and hearts would be open. See, Lord, He knows all of our hearts here today. And friend, if you don't know Him, you need to know Him. Oh, my friend, I'm glad even in the midst of death and the difficulty of life, I'm glad there can be peace in your heart that passes all understanding. Why? Because Jesus came and He bled and He died and He suffered and He paid a debt that you and I could not pay. Hallelujah, paid our sin debt so that you and I could know Him and be redeemed and have that burden of sin taken away. And not only that burden, but that penalty of sin. You studied about it in your Sunday school lesson in the book of Genesis. Friend, I'll tell you what, sin brought forth death. But I'm glad, thank God, 2,000 plus years ago, Jesus went to Calvary's hill and laid down His life. Thank God this morning, church, that you and I could know Him this morning in a free pardon of sin and have that peace and that joy today that comes from only knowing Him as your Savior today, my friend. Almost will not count in life, and almost definitely will not count in death. In death. It could be me next, it could be you next. Death's no respecter of persons. It comes to us all. But I'm also glad, thank God, God's not a respecter of persons either, aren't you? I'm glad, thank God, rich, poor, big, little, it doesn't make any difference. Black, white, yeah, it doesn't make any difference to God today. Hallelujah, I'm glad He came for all. So I want you to notice again three things quickly, and I promise I'm going to try to get done just as quick as I can. I want us to look this morning, first of all, how Paul addresses Agrippa. First of all, if you'll go back to the first part of the chapter and begin to read these verses, I don't have time this morning, but first of all, you'll find Paul giving Agrippa his personal testimony. His personal testimony in what God had done, in where God had brought him from. You say, preacher, why would you mention that? Do you have a testimony? Do you have a testimony of when God come to where you was at? See, that's what Paul begins to do. He begins to lay out where he was and what he was doing and how Christ came to him on the road to Damascus and forever changed his life. I'm glad this morning, hallelujah, that I have a testimony, that I have a time and a place. Thank God where God, through the Holy Spirit of God, through the preaching of the Word of God, convicted my heart and brought me to the realization that I needed a Savior. And thank God, I'm glad, hallelujah, that Sunday morning I walked an aisle and trusted Christ by faith, repented of my sin, and just like He changed Paul's life, He changed my life. Can anybody identify with a changed life? Aren't you glad that you have a testimony this morning? Paul begins to address Agrippa, and he begins to address him with a personal testimony. You know how you and I can win folks to God today, to the Lord Jesus Christ? Through our personal testimony. What God has done for us. And boy, I'll tell you what, He's done so much for each and every one of us here today. Amen. As Brother Scott is saying, God has been so good. I don't believe some of you got it. God has been so good. Paul was not fearing death. No, Paul was not fearing death. Matter of fact, he gave his very life. You continue to study his life. He gave his very life for the cause of Christ. Why? Because, thank God, he realized that even in death, that peace that he had, that relationship that he had, that death could not take that away. Hallelujah. Thank God for those that have a testimony, for those that have a testimony that God has changed their life. You say, well, God changed my life. Sure He will. Matter of fact, I've never seen anyone that truly trusted Him that He did not change your life. I see Paul this morning as he's before King Agrippa, a man of high position, a man of power, a man of prestige. But see, there was something missing in Agrippa's life. And Paul comes. Yes, he's under arrest. Sure, he wants to be turned loose. I've never seen anybody arrested yet didn't want to be turned loose. Amen. We also need to understand this morning, if you're still in your sin, that Satan has you arrested. He has you in his grips this morning. And the only way that you can be set free from that and set free from the chains of sin is to trust Christ as Savior. Here's Paul before Agrippa. And Paul begins with his personal testimony. And what God had done. And where God had brought him from. And could I say today, people's personal testimony will still work. Friend, if you're here today, a child of God, your testimony is important. You need to give it to somebody. Amen. You need to tell somebody. Matter of fact, I truly believe if you've been born again, saved by the good grace of God, you'll want to tell somebody what God has done in your life. So we see Paul addresses, first of all, his personal testimony before Agrippa. Number one, he gave him his religious standing as a Pharisee. If you go back and study the chapter, he begins to tell King Agrippa, of course, you find as he's addressing King Agrippa in these verses, of course, Agrippa was familiar with the Jewish customs and the Jewish religion. And so Paul lets you know, first off, in his personal testimony, that he was at one time, as far as his religious standing, a Pharisee. But what he also lets him know through that testimony is that religious standing was not any good. The world's full of religion this morning. Amen. And all of us, even as we practice the Baptist faith this morning, all of us do some things as we quote unquote religiously. Now, I've never liked that word a whole lot, but it's part of our vocabulary, so we use it. But Paul was letting him know that his religious standing as a Pharisee was not good enough. Friend, whatever your religious standing might be today, if it's not grounded, rooted, and grounded in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He done on Calvary and His resurrection this morning, and you by faith trusting Him, then your religion was just as Paul's religion. It was void and vain, and it's no good. Preacher, that's a pretty bold statement. I'm just trying to help you this morning. It takes a relationship. I'm glad Miss Phyllis had a relationship. Amen. And she proved that relationship through the life that she lived before others. And I'll probably talk about that some more this afternoon. But friend, do you have a testimony? It's more than just a religious standing. I'm a Baptist preacher. Well, if you're a Baptist before you're saved, then friend, you're just a lost Baptist. Amen. You're just a lost Baptist. Preacher, I've been baptized. Well, you're just a person that's lost that's been under the water. Preacher, I'm a church member of such and such a church. Well, it's wonderful to be baptized. It's scriptural. It's wonderful to be a part of a church this morning. But friend, if religion's all you've got, you need salvation this morning. Paul lets him know in his personal testimony. Number one, about his religious standing as a Pharisee. I don't have time to get... He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Not only does he give him this morning in his personal testimony about his religious standing as a Pharisee, but secondly, he even tells him of his relentless persecution of the Christians. Man, the very day he got born again, he had letters in his hand to go persecute the very church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And was going that way and had already persecuted the church. Boy, that's mercy and grace today. When God could love somebody like Paul, but yet He could also love somebody like me, and He could love somebody like you, preacher, I'm not all that bad. Listen, the Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Listen, we all need a Savior today. Because we have this sin nature that we inherited from our father Adam, but thank God for that second Adam. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did he talk about his religious standing, but he talked about his relentless persecution of the Christians. You say, well, preacher, why would you even bring that up? Because Paul was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. Amen. Don't die on me now. We can be sincere about something, but we can be sincerely wrong. And if it's anything other than what this Bible teaches us, then friend, it's wrong. Paul said, I was a Pharisee. I was out persecuting the church. I thought what I was doing was right. Have you ever been in life and you thought what you were doing was right, and then you found out what you were doing was wrong? Huh? Anybody ever been there? Could anybody else join me this morning in testifying to the fact I thought I was right? But through the Word of God and through the working of the Holy Spirit of God, God showed me that I was wrong. It takes a big person to admit that they're wrong. Boy, there's some good preaching right here, but I don't have time this morning. Our problem is today, we don't want to ever come to the place that we will admit that we were wrong. You know what's keeping a lot of people away from the Lord Jesus Christ this morning in getting saved and living for God? They don't want to admit that they're wrong. I'm sure all of us have a little issue with that. Why? Because we're made out of the same stuff. We don't want to admit that we're wrong. Bless God, I'm right. I'm going to die believing what I believe. Well, if it's something else besides what this book teaches us, you'll die lost in your sin with your sin debt paid for. But you wouldn't turn loose of your way and go God's way. Now, Lord, help us this morning. There may be somebody. Now, listen, everybody in the house may be saved, and I pray that you are. But there's a great possibility with a number of this size that there's folks here today. You don't want to turn loose of your way. You want to do it your way. You want to go your way. But friend, it must be God's way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what Paul's trying to relate to Agrippa. You need Jesus this morning. And so in his personal testimony, He gives us his religious standing. He gives us his relentless persecution of the Christians. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. But then thirdly, in his personal testimony, we find the revealing of the truth. The revealing of the truth. On the road to Damascus, in his encounter with Jesus, thank God he was encountered with the truth. You know what you're faced with here this morning? Whether you want to admit it or not, whether you want to give in to it or not, whether you want to realize it or not, you have come an encounter with the truth. Not because I'm relating it, but because we're trying to give you what the Word of God says this morning and the importance of knowing Christ as your Savior. Don't miss life's greatest opportunity. There will be people today that will hear. There will be people that will have an opportunity. And they'll do just like Agrippa. Well, almost persuadest me to be a Christian. I can remember when God was dealing with my heart about salvation. There was a lot of Sundays that I walked out of church under conviction, almost persuaded. Huh? Now I know some of the rest of you never were there. Just like Paul's giving his personal testimony, I'm trying to give you some of mine. I almost persuaded. I almost took that first step. I almost. Why? Because the truth had been revealed. Oh, and when the truth got revealed, I seen who I was, I seen who he was, and I seen how desperately I needed him. But instead of turning and coming towards him, I walked and went from him. But thank God he was long-suffering, he was gracious, he was merciful. Amen. Thank God Miss Amanda didn't give up on me, didn't give up on Miss Heather. I want to report to you some good news this morning, friend. He hadn't give up on you. But don't miss out on of life's greatest opportunity. I want you to notice this morning not only his testimony, but I've got to move on quickly. Not only do I see him, Paul, giving his personal testimony, but secondly, I want you to notice Paul's preaching. Paul's preaching. What was Paul preaching? Well, if you'll continue to read, again, go back over and start verse number 1 and go all the way through this chapter, and you'll find that Paul is preaching the message of the gospel to King Agrippa. And again, whether it's an individual in a high position or an individual today that feels like they have no position, that gospel message, thank God, is for all. Paul, a prisoner, preaching the gospel to a king. Think about that. He boldly proclaimed, listen, he didn't cut nothing out. He didn't water it down. He didn't sugarcoat it up. See, that's what people want today. They want something watered down and sugarcoated. Lord, help us today. We just need the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I needed. That's what you needed. That's what my family needs. That's what your family needs. That's what this community needs. That's what this country needs. Thank God we need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's the only thing that will change a life. Not only will it change a life, but it'll change a home. I ain't got time to preach here, but man, it'll change a home. Amen. It'll take a drunkard. If he'll accept it, it'll clean him up. Hallelujah. Instead of buying booze and alcohol, he'll begin to buy what he's supposed to buy for his family. Instead of beating on his wife, he'll love on his wife. Instead of avoiding the church and avoiding the preacher, they want to get in, thank God. Hallelujah, and hear the preaching and be a part of the church. I'm telling you this morning, thank God, the gospel message still works today, my friend. Amen. The gospel message still works. Paul's preaching was the message of the gospel. It was the message of repentance. And could I say this morning, that same message is still the message of every Bible preacher, Bible teacher, and every Christian. It's the message of repentance. Not only is it the message of repentance, but it's the message of receiving. The message of receiving. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And notice, of course, Festus is along also here before King Agrippa. And we find in the verses that we read to you this morning that Festus himself, he says, Paul, you're mad. Now, for you young folk that might not understand what that is, that means you're crazy. That's what Paul's saying, or Festus is saying. Paul, you've done lost your mind. You are crazy, man. You're talking about somebody that died and then rose again. Man, you've lost your mind. Could I say I'm glad this morning not only did he die, but I'm glad, thank God, he rose again. I'm not serving a dead God. I don't know about yours this morning, but mine's alive and well. How do you know he's alive and well? Well, number one, we have proof of over 500 that saw him after he arose from the dead. We have down through the years testimony after testimony after testimony of individuals that he's changed their life. How could a dead God do that? He couldn't. Religion couldn't do it. But thank God a risen Savior, hallelujah, can change the life today. Notice not only does he, in his preaching, mention the message of repentance, but also the message of receiving. And that's what salvation is this morning. Admitting that we are a sinner, and by faith, not by works, but by faith, trusting what Jesus done on Calvary for you and I. Simple faith. He even talks about in the Scriptures a childlike faith. Boy, I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad it's that way this morning. That it's a childlike faith in what Jesus Christ. Listen, it's not what we could do. And could I also say this morning real quickly today, it's not what I've done. A lot of folks say today, preacher, I've done too much. I've went too far. Oh, no, friend. I'm glad, thank God, the blood that he shed upon Calvary this morning, thank God. I'm glad, hallelujah, it paid the sin debt for all and paid all sin for those that would receive it. I see the message of repentance. I see the message of receiving in his preaching. But thirdly this morning, I see the message of a redeemed life. And we've already given reference to that. The message of a redeemed life, of a changed life. You know what Paul's telling Agrippa? Paul is telling Agrippa, King Agrippa, what Jesus done for me on the road to Damascus, he can do for you today. What does it mean to have a redeemed life, a changed life? One that he has already bought and paid for with his precious blood. Don't miss. Notice I read there in the book of Hebrews, and some feel like that Paul was the writer of the book of Hebrews. It doesn't tell us, but I truly think he probably was. It doesn't matter. The Holy Ghost of God inspired it, so that's what's important. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Let me say quickly right here before I move on to my last point. Without Christ, there is no escape. Almost does not count in life. Somebody said almost does not count unless it's hand shoes or horseshoes or hand grenades. Almost does not count in life. And almost will not count in death. See Paul's testimony. I see Paul's preaching. Thirdly, and lastly this morning, I see Paul's petition. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? In other words, Agrippa knew about the prophets. He knew about the Jewish law and the Jewish customs. Because Paul even says, after he asked the question, I know that thou believest. And then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Almost. What did we say the word almost meant? It meant to be near, or well nigh. Paul, you about got me there. Wasn't Paul going to get him there anyways? The Holy Ghost of God's going to get him there. I don't believe a man, woman, boy, or girl will ever be saved without the drawing power of God. I believe the Bible teaches us that. He'll have to draw you, and he will, because he loves you. But notice Paul's petition, or if you will, you could say it like this. You could say Paul's plea. Agrippa, why don't you believe? Why don't you do it today? Why would you put it off? And that was God's plea to me one day. Thank God for that plea. Jesus said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. I don't know about you, but that was me one day. Paul's plea, Paul's petition is, Agrippa, won't you believe? Won't you believe? Won't you trust him today? Notice what he says. In Paul's petition or plea to Agrippa, number one, he gives an invitation. Do you believe? Number three, I think we see an illumination. What does illumination mean? It brings light to the condition. You may be king. You may be king. But there's something that you need, king, and it's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I see an invitation. And I'm glad that invitation is still going out today. I see illumination bringing light to the condition and to the need. And thirdly, I see an illustration. I see an illustration this morning of the rejection of the greatest opportunity that King Agrippa ever had. You mean, preacher, it's greater than being king? Oh, yes. It's the opportunity to know the king. I don't know a whole lot of influential people in my life. I really don't. But I'm glad I met the most important one 31 years ago. And his name is Jesus. But I see an illustration of rejection. And I'm going to tell you why. And I'm done. Because as I said, as you continue to read the story, Agrippa just totally changes the conversation. And if you'll study your Bible real close, you know how many more times Agrippa's mentioned in the Bible? Let me give you a clue. He's never mentioned again. Now, does that mean he didn't have enough opportunity? I don't know. Does that mean that he died lost and undone without God? I don't know. But I know on this day, this particular day, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And life's greatest opportunity, almost, does not count. Every one of us here today stand in one or two places. We either lost in our sin or we've been saved from our sin. Amen, preacher. We're either still lost in our sin or we've been saved from our sin. And the only way to be saved is to know Christ as Savior. Don't miss out on life's greatest opportunity, because almost does not count. Let's stand to our feet, Brother Scotty. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be able to stand in this pulpit one more time. Lord, I want to thank you this morning for every individual, whatever family, whatever person that's represented here this morning. And Lord, I thank you again for the truth of the Word of God. And I pray right now in the invitation, in the stillness of this service, that, Father, right now, Lord, that you knock upon that heart's door. If there's someone here today, Lord, that's never called upon you for salvation, that today would be the good day. Lord, they would step out by faith and call upon you for salvation. If there's a Christian, cold and different, Lord, whatever the need, Lord, you know the need of the hour. I commit it to your hands. Father, you work. And Lord, we're going to thank you and we're going to praise you. Save that one closest to hell this morning. And Father, we'll praise you and thank you. And it's in Christ's name. As every head's bowed, every eye closes.